Hello, this is Chris with the Champaign News Gazette for Monday, September 17th. I'll begin today's reading on the front page. Amazon to give $1 million for Red Shirt Program. Effort gives 25 STEM students extra no-cost year from Urbana. Amazon is committing $1 million over 5 years to support an academic Red Shirt Program for University of Illinois students in science and engineering. Similar to the redshirt year commonly associated with student athletes, the program allows up to 25 students from disadvantaged backgrounds across the state an extra year to get ready for traditional freshman courses in science and engineering. U of I officials say the students from both rural and urban areas show potential to succeed in engineering but may not have had access to advanced placement courses or other high-level classes in high school. Students in the academic redshirt in science and engineering program take prep courses such as pre-calculus or pre-physics and get an enhanced orientation to engineering and faculty mentors who work with them throughout their college careers. They also have access to scholarships and financial aid to guarantee it won't cost them more to graduate in 5 years than if they had gone through a traditional 4-year program. The National Science Foundation provided seed money for the program in 2016 to 6 institutions, including the U of I, $5 million over 5 years to create a bridge year for incoming freshmen. Illinois receives $160,000 a year, including $130,000 for scholarships, but that money doesn't cover all the costs. The money from Amazon will help fill that gap, providing funding for scholarships and other opportunities, and allow the U of I to continue the program beyond the original 5 years. Besides the $1 million, Amazon will provide other support, including employees who will be mentors for the students, which is amazing, said Program Director Ivan Falilla, Assistant Dean in the College of Engineering. The gift grew out of a conversation with Greg Zare, a U of I electrical engineering alumnus and president of Amazon Lab 126, said Jonathan Menkla, associate dean for undergraduate programs for the college. The company wanted to help encourage a more diverse talent pool within the college, so it seemed like a natural fit. Arise fits the community engagement mission of the Amazon to provide resources and ignite the passion for STEM education to the next generation, said Zare, a 1971 Fisher High School graduate. The University of Illinois has a global reputation in engineering, and we're excited to help students who need a little extra preparation to succeed at a place like Illinois. Mekla said the U of I is grateful for Amazon's help in giving more students across the state a chance to be a part of the university. The program strives to promote socioeconomic diversity in the college and give students the best chance to succeed and earn a degree. Of the first group of 16 students admitted to the U of I's redshirt program in the fall of 2017, 15 are still enrolled in the College of Engineering. I'm quite happy with their progress and development. We've got a lot of work yet to come, but they are particularly engaged, with some considering a second degree or study abroad program. This fall, 23 students are signed up. They're from all over the state, Falala said, including one student who observed that there are more students in one of her U of I classes than attended her entire high school. It's just such a transition that a program like Arise really makes a difference. And from those who served her sacred duty, veteran took the fight from Desert Storm to the American Legion, from Urbana. Ronnie Turner Winston considered her role as a chapel management specialist working with soldiers during Operation Desert Storm a sacred duty. If you were in Operation Desert Storm, you might have met her. Among other duties, she served a 6-month deployment doing airlifts between London and Saudi Arabia, processing U.S. soldiers, and working on chapel services. After serving 4 years in the reserve, she left the Air Force as a senior airman. Turner Winston continues her service as a member of the American Legion Post 559 in Champaign for 24 years now. She was recently elected Champaign County Council Commander. Officers will be installed September 27th. The primary mission for commanders at any level of leadership in the American Legion is membership recruitment and retention. It takes a large membership to support all the programs that support veterans and veterans' causes. In addition to membership, I will also be focusing on local collaboration with other county agencies for community revitalization. The Legion is a family affair. Her sons and grandsons are all members of the Sons of the American Legion Squadron 559, and her daughter is a member of the American Legion Women's Auxiliary Unit 559. As a chapel management specialist, Turner Winston organized and managed a variety of activities. That could include written communications, public relations, preparation of budgets and publicity materials, and management of property and equipment. Turner Winston grew up in the Washington, D.C. area, where working for government agencies became a family tradition. A grandfather and uncle also served in the Army before she was born. I was born to a young single mother, but was raised in a village that supported us both. The University of Maryland was next. I started out pre-med, but found out I didn't like needles, she said. Next was business administration. But even working three jobs, she was short on money, and the services seemed like a good alternative for the time. High test scores led her to the Air Force. After basic training at Lackland Air Force Base, she went to technical school and learned to be a chapel management specialist. During Operation Desert Storm, she spent a London deployment doing airlifts between London and Saudi Arabia. Chapel management was like radar in MASH, she said, with many chores to be completed. But it was serious work. I felt honored to be bringing my brothers and sisters back to the States. She was stationed at Chanute Air Force Base during the Rantoul Educational Center's 1993 closure. Turner Winston had the choice between moving to another base or taking an early out to be in the reserves. She stayed here for family reasons. She worked at Parkland College about 8 years, then moved over to the University of Illinois, where she has managed the resident hall desk operations and supervised the student desk clerks in graduate housing for almost 6 years. I love the challenge and diversity of all the various student interactions. She is finishing up a doctorate degree at Grand Canyon University. In the Air Force, she had often volunteered with military commemorative events and parades. I volunteered because I love the pomp and circumstance of these events, and they are more reflective of what the military represents to the average citizen. It is also why I continue to participate in veterans organizations such as the American Legion and Veterans of Foreign Wars. Turner Winston is also a lifetime member of VFW 5520 and NAACP Champaign County Branch Veterans Affairs Representative. From the local page in Champaign County Crime Stoppers official search for vehicle thief. Champaign County Crime Stoppers needs help finding the person or people who stole vehicles from an Urbana business. On the morning of Thursday, September 13th, officers were sent to AHW LLC, the John Deere dealership at 314 North Cottonwood Road. They learned that the night before, someone forced entry to the property and stole a white 2012 Chevrolet Silverado delivery truck with the name John Deere and initials AHW on the side. Also stolen was a green John Deere Gator utility vehicle. Officers received information that the delivery truck was possibly in the Farmer City area. The value of both stolen vehicles was estimated at more than $100,000. If you have information, please contact Champaign County Crime Stoppers at 217-373-TIPS. Back to the front page, hopefuls in three races argue their cases from Champaign. Some 70 people chose to spend their Friday evening at the Champaign City Building where they heard from six candidates for three Champaign County seats. In the first of three Friday forums hosted by the League of Women Voters, NAACP, and the News Gazette, candidates for county sheriff, clerk, and auditor answered questions submitted by the audience. County sheriff. In the race for sheriff, Chief Deputy Alan Jones, a Republican, played up his 28 years of experience in the sheriff's office. as Democratic challenger Dustin Hauerman said, a new face is needed. Relationships and experience are key, Jones said. When you need to go across to the courthouse to talk to the judiciary, you already have a relationship. When the state's attorney wants to speak with the agency about a process or investigation or some new break, the relationship already exists. Hauerman, a longtime criminal justice instructor at Lakeland College in Mattoon, said that while experience is important, the new sheriff should be someone who understands the problems minorities face. He said he can, as he's a gay man who has dealt with colleagues that underestimated him. The traditional ways of policing and corrections are no longer acceptable. With so much diversity in Champaign County, the Champaign County Sheriff needs to be someone who is diverse himself in order to truly understand the importance of equality and diversity in the criminal justice system. They both agreed that the downtown Urbana jail should be closed and consolidated with the satellite jail, but Hauerman said he would need to study more how exactly to do so. It would be difficult to speculate on the features that a new jail facility should have without having a study and things like that. But he said he would like to see better space for vocational training and GED classes with officer safety top of mind. Jones used this response to highlight his experience. The expansion of the satellite jail has been studied, and we've had some proposals out there. We need 60 to 80 beds. We need to focus on having the classification and housing that would be appropriate for the subset of the population at the jail that has mental illness or medical acuities. County Clerk. Candidates for County Clerk were much more aggressive, with Urbana Alderman Aaron Ammons, the Democratic candidate, directly attacking his opponent, Republican Matt Grandin, the director of training at the county clerk's office. Ammons said that Grandin had only voted in 10 of the last 26 elections. If you want someone that you can count on to run the office, you can count on that person who's passionate about democracy. Grandin didn't address the attack during the forum, but afterwards said he wished he'd had voted when he was younger, but it has allowed him to see how the clerk's office can better reach young voters. I, like most people when they're millennials, didn't understand how important it was. It's something that I certainly understand how important it is now. But it also puts me in a unique position to understand why people don't vote and what we can do to make it easier. Asked about transparency and consistency, Grandin said the clerk's office already is better than most clerk's offices, with open recounts and live streaming on Facebook of its public tests. Ammons said the clerk's office could be more consistent by keeping the same polling locations from election to election rather than consolidating locations. And finally, County Auditor. After the setbacks in the clerk candidate's debate, moderator Barbara Schleider told the candidates for county auditor to refrain from personal attacks. That didn't stop accountant and Democratic candidate George Danos from attacking interim auditor and Republican candidate Diane Michaels for being too cozy with her former colleagues on the county board. I faced the interim auditor selected in part by county officials who come from her party's central committee and was appointed by her colleagues on the county board, whose spending she is now charged with auditing. But Michaels, a longtime banker, defended herself, saying that she has a reputation for being independent. I've worked very hard to get a good name within the community of being loyal and committed, but also straight down the line. It's money, it's contracts, it's accounts payable. It's things of those nature that doesn't really have a lot of gray areas. Danos touted that he's a certified accountant, but Michael said there's more to the job than that. We do have a very competent staff. I do have a CPA in there right now. It's more than just being a CPA in that office. There are other things that that office does that are not just numbers. There's contracts to look over, dealing with certain vendors, and things of that nature. Las Vegas Company's bid was the winner from Urbana. A Las Vegas-based real estate developer is the new owner-to-be of the shuttered Landmark Hotel in Urbana. Mayor Diane Marlin said Friday that the hotel auction broker informed the city that the winning $1.3 million bid was submitted by JWM Ventures of Las Vegas. Marlin said the buyer has not contacted the city and she doesn't know what its plans are for the downtown facility. Marlin also said JWM is not one of the groups that met with the city before this week's auction. We continue to expect a high-quality, vibrant project at this site. Marlin expects it will take at least a month for the sale to close. The auction broker and JWM CEO John McDonald could not be reached for comment on Friday. JWM's website claims its involvement in residential and commercial projects in Texas, Georgia, and Nevada, many of them associated with the Wyndham Hotels and Resorts chain. Store due to open October 28th, hiring set over the next 3 weeks from Champaign. Just in time for holiday home decorating, Home Goods has scheduled October 28th as the grand opening date for its new store in Champaign. The grand opening information for the Champaign location, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. October 28th, was posted on the chain's website. The post also says the Champaign store at 718 Town Center Boulevard will be open 7 days a week from 9:30 to 9:30 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays. According to employment site Indeed.com, the Champaign Home Goods is planning to do in-person hiring at the nearby hotel over the next 3 weeks. A walk-in hiring event has been scheduled for 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. on weekdays starting today and running through October 5th, plus 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. September 22nd at the Courtyard by Marriott, 1811 Moreland Boulevard in Champaign. Employment opportunities listed include merchandise coordinator, backroom coordinator, merchandise associate, and customer experience associate. Home Goods, which carries home accessories and furnishings, is part of TJX Companies, which also operate the TJ Maxx and Marshall's chains. Home Goods recently opened another new store in Springfield's White Oaks Plaza. A company spokeswoman reached on Friday would only say the store is projected to open in late October. Also on the front page, U of I Prof leads grant for switchgrass study. Prairie vegetation being bred to boost yield for biofuels from Urbana. For the past several years, a University of Illinois professor has been developing a variety of switchgrass for biofuels called Independence. At the University of Nebraska, other researchers have been developing a variety called Liberty. A new $5 million U.S. Department of Education grant will study real-world applications for these and other varieties. Basically, this DOE grant is testing Liberty and Independence, said U of I Associate Professor D.K. Lee, who will be leading the five-year study. While he has been testing Independence on small research plots for years, the grant will allow him to test the switchgrass varieties on private farms in much larger quantities. This grant is about real-world application, he said. In 2019, we'll plant this grass on marginally productive cropland. Then we'll harvest the biomass annually until 2023. And then we'll evaluate this new variety to see how much more biomass it yields than a traditional variety. The study will be carried out with the Iowa State University, South Dakota State University, Idaho National Laboratory, renewable energy consulting firms Antares Group, the U.S. Agricultural Department's Ag Research Service, and the Argonne National Laboratory, which will handle the big data that comes from the project. In a typical prairie, most of the grass is switchgrass, but it hasn't been optimized for biofuels such as ethanol. Lee has been breeding Independence on research plots in the U of I South farms by selecting the seeds that produce the most biomass. I'm expecting it to have 30 to 40% more biomass yield than existing switchgrass. As they wrap up, researchers will look at how the different varieties performed, as well as the impact on the ecosystem, such as improving soil health or water quality. Lee said the switchgrass won't necessarily be in competition with corn grown for ethanol, as the switchgrass can grow on land that's not optimal for row crops. This grass will be just as good on the marginal land as in the prime crop land. Farmers can maximize their land resource because they can utilize marginal land. If the bioenergy market comes, the farmer may be able to make more money. And Lee said that unlike ethanol, growing switchgrass is easier on the environment. It doesn't require much nitrogen, and it sequesters carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. Switchgrass has a good root system, a very aggressive and strong root system, which can help with building organic matter and also intercepting water and nutrients coming out of the field. As part of this grant, we're not just evaluating biomass fuel, we're also evaluating ecosystems like greenhouse gas emission and improving water quality and biodiversity. Lee received the grant with the help of the U of I's Institute for Sustainability, Energy and Environment, which is an administrative partner in the new Center for Advanced Bioenergy and Bioproducts Initiative. That center received a 5-year, $115 million grant this year from the Energy Department to study how to reduce dependence on fossil fuels with biofuels from plants. Lee said that's the goal with his study. The big picture is that we want to have energy independence without having some other alternative source, just like a renewable energy source. We are not able to achieve that energy independence. Studio Gallery showcases handcrafted art. Miranda's Loom opens at Lincoln Square in Urbana. A fiber artist has opened her own craft studio and gallery at Lincoln Square in Urbana. Leanne Gem of Urbana recently opened Miranda's Loom across from Stango Cuisine in the heart of the mall. We have 14 fine craft artists and a weaving studio in the back. We are functional fine craft studio and gallery featuring handcrafted fiber arts, pottery, turned wood, glass, metals, basketry, and jewelry. Gem said she has been weaving for more than 25 years and she creates heirloom quality, one-of-a-kind fiber art pieces. She uses her loom to make coverlets, throws, blankets, rag rugs, scarves, shawls, and baby-wearing wraps. She does custom orders as well. I believe in making handcrafted items that are also beautiful. I also wanted to expand my business to include other fine craft artists. She has a Bachelor of Arts degree in Studio Art and a Master of Science degree in Art Therapy. I'm based in Central Illinois and sell my work in regional galleries, internet shops, and at juried art fairs. I'm happy to be in Urbana and to be part of Lincoln Square. The shop is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday through Friday and 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday. An article by Brett Kepley, How to Battle Credit Fraud. What can I do if my financial information with a credit reporting company is hacked? Is the company liable to me? Last year, the credit reporting agency Equifax was hacked and the accounts of at least 145 million people were pilfered. That means social security numbers, loan account numbers, driver's license numbers, names, birth dates, and addresses. Such info can be used to perpetuate credit fraud, running up loans in your name, draining financial accounts in your name, diverting payments meant for you, and on. What to do? Federal law allows you to get a free copy of a credit report every 12 months from each of the three big agencies, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. So look those over to see if any activity looks suspicious. A credit card debt, for example, that you darn well know you didn't open. View your own charge account statements for any expenditures you darn well know you didn't charge. If fraud is had, freeze your credit. Starting September 21st, you can freeze your credit for free, avoiding the fees typically charged per rating agency. Before, you had to shell out $15 or $25 for such freezing. But unfreeze it when you apply for new credit cards or loans. The freeze doesn't stop fraudulent tax returns filed in your name or charges already had on the frozen accounts. If you've taken a financial hit because of a credit reporting company breach, you might be able to sue the company, but that will be a tough barrel of nails to saw through. You need to prove that the thief who wrecked you got the info from the company. Prove that the company used poor care in protecting the info. Prove the ravaged info is linked to your ravaged finances. That can all be costly and factually and legally complicated. The Government Accountability Office, the investigative agency of the U.S. Congress, reported that Equifax acknowledged that its server had a weak spot in its software before the hack. The attack went unnoticed by Equifax for more than 6 weeks. Finger pointing has gone on between Equifax and its servicer as to who dropped the software ball in fixing the weak spot. Had it been so fixed, forensic investigators say, the extent of the breach may have been relatively minimized. Class action suits across the country have been initiated against Equifax, including an ambitious one with plaintiffs from every state. You might get solicited by attorneys representing a class. If you elect to partake in a class action lawsuit, you will recover only the amount of money approved by the court divvied up to each participant. So that $150 check you get 5 years from now may bar you from suing for the $12,000 damage you actually suffered. Thus far, no federal agencies tasked with protecting consumers has taken any enforcement action against Equifax. Regulators in several states reached consent orders with the company to improve its cybersecurity. As part of those settlements, Equifax admitted no wrongdoing. Your credit report can be ordered for free online. As Arnold Schwarzenegger said, do it now. Biker dies of injuries received from collision with vehicle from Champaign. A Champaign man died early Friday from injuries he sustained when his motorcycle ran into a car in northwest Champaign. Champaign Police Lieutenant Bruce Ramsayer said the accident happened at 7:07 p.m. Thursday at the 1000 block of West Anthony Drive. Adam Machado, 47, was westbound on Anthony when he hit the side of a car driven by Juan Diego, 20, of Urbana, as Diego was making a left turn out of the Rural King parking lot to head east on Anthony. Ramsayer said witnesses told police that Mr. Machado, who listed an address on Hedge Road, was driving fast when he collided with Diego's car. Mr. Machado was thrown from the motorcycle and sustained multiple traumatic injuries. He was not wearing a helmet. Champaign County Coroner Dwayne Northrup said Mr. Machado died about 12:30 a.m. Friday at Carle Foundation Hospital. Ramsayer says officers said there was no identification that either driver was impaired. Diego was issued a ticket for failure to yield while exiting a private drive. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Champaign News Gazette for Monday, September 17th. Please stay tuned.